Good morning. It's 8 o'clock, and this is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Thursday, October 9th. I'm Laura Palmisano. Things are looking up for Colorado homes, with winter just around the corner. Colorado homes are the seventh most energy-efficient homes in the nation. A study recently published by a finance website, WalletHub, looked at how much homeowners spent on heating and cooling versus how much they needed. Deborah Lewick with the Colorado Energy Office isn't surprised.
Well, actually, considering there's how many states involved, I think that's pretty good. We provide, through the state of Colorado Energy Office, we provide the weatherization services throughout Colorado. Our offices consist of 12 counties that we cover, and in that 12 counties, over from 1974 to 2010, we've provided weatherization services for over 11,000 homes. So that's a lot of homes that are getting weatherized and becoming more energy efficient.
She also says it has to do with a shift in the culture.
I think people are much more aware of what energy efficiency means and are taking steps individually. More so just to, I don't know if they're trying to be green as much as they're just trying to save on their utility bills so that they can keep a little bit more of that money in their own pockets.
Her office works with low-income households to make them more efficient. There's still a lot of work to do, she says.
Across the nation, there's over 36 million homes that are eligible to be weatherized that have not been done. So there's a lot of people out there that would qualify. They just need to find out how to go about it, you know, call our office and we can go over with them and see if we can get them qualified and get in there and help them get their homes weatherized and so that they can be more energy efficient.
Deborah says the cutoff for assistance is twice the poverty level. Democratic Senator Mark Udall and Republican Congressman Cory Gardner had a spirited debate Tuesday in Denver. Binta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The Denver Post hosted the hour-long debate. Both candidates are locked in a tight race, and both stayed on message. Udall attacking Gardner as extreme and out of touch. Gardner criticizing Udall for being in lockstep with President Barack Obama. The topic of women's reproductive rights came up several times. Here's Gardner explaining his positions on IUDs and the morning after pill.
The fact is, I support over-the-counter contraception made available without a prescription. When it comes to the other issues, those are legal and nothing is going to change that.
Gardner was also asked about his initial support for the Personhood Amendment. He no longer backs it, but does support the Federal Life Begins at Conception Act.
Senator Udall said that a good faith change of position should be considered a virtue and not a vice. The federal act was simply a statement that I support life.
For his part, Udall defended his decision to focus so much of his campaign on women's issues and says he hasn't gone too far.
Reproductive rights are important to millions of Coloradans. Colorado was the second state to grant the franchise to women.
Udall also defended his support for Obamacare and backing the president's policies.
This race is between Congressman Gardner and me and our respective records. Congressman Gardner continues to throw out the number 99%. I want to remind him that he's running against me in this election.
The candidates also touched on gun rights, immigration reform, entitlement spending, and foreign policy. Gardner says Obama isn't showing leadership when it comes to the Islamic State.
The president said we have no strategy. The president said they are junior varsity actors. The president said we will lead from behind, and that's Mark Udall's plan, too, because he agrees with him 99% of the time.
Senator Udall says the U.S. is going to wipe out the Islamic State and says Gardner follows GOP orders.
He talks about this number, 99%. Well, he's been 99% with the Republican leadership in the House on everything from women's reproductive health to supporting minimum wage workers to climate change. 100% of Coloradans know he's in the wrong place.
The two also traded barbs over Colorado's recovery from devastating floods. Here's Udall.
We rode in a helicopter. We were unified. We got off that helicopter after seeing the devastation, and we headed back to Washington, D.C. with a focus on providing relief and support to the people of Colorado. I don't know what happened on that plane ride, but when you got off that plane in Washington, D.C., you took a whole different approach. You voted to shut down the government. The facts are clear, and the effects were real. You delayed the recovery.
Meanwhile, Gardner says Udall is trying to politicize a tragedy.
I sat in your office, Senator Udall, to work on the legislation that you are bragging about. We worked together to find solutions for people in need. The vice president of the United States was in Greeley, Colorado, and he said even if there was a government shutdown, flood relief would not be impacted. We asked the vice president about that.
The two candidates are doing a handful of debates. Polls show the race is a statistical dead heat. I'm Benta Berkland.
There's been a shakeup in Colorado sports. The Colorado Rockies have a new general manager. Dan O'Dowd was replaced by Jeff Bridich, who's been with the organization since 2004. O'Dowd is stepping down after four straight losing seasons, although he was in charge when the Rockies won the National League Championship in 2007. There's been more action in Washington over the nesting habits of a small western bird. KVNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
The western yellow-billed cuckoo was listed as threatened last week under the Endangered Species Act. Fish and Wildlife made the decision after a year of comments, data gathering, and deliberation. Now it comes down to their habitat.
Yes, it's actually required by the Act to designate critical habitat for species that become listed.
That's Kurt Brodendorp. He's a biologist with Fish and Wildlife Service. The critical habitat is a separate decision from the threatened listing. There is still a chance that there won't be a critical habitat listed.
Right. So there, you know, we at least have to consider it. So there are some cases where we may not designate critical habitat, and those situations are specifically defined by, you know, our law and policy.
The yellow-billed cuckoo is a medium-sized bird, brown and white, with a yellow bill. It's rather particular about where it likes to live, preferring riparian areas.
Generally means what we refer to as a blue line or water, and it's typically multi-canopy forested areas. So for just as an example, cottonwood overstory with understory of smaller trees or shrubs.
Kurt says that some of the trees are being cut down. With the dams in the area, large seasonal floods aren't as common, which change the river and where seeds get left. Some invasive species have also come and changed the makeup of riverside plants. If that change continues, they won't have their niche, their specific habitat that they need.
Well, I think with a number of other species that you might encounter, they've evolved and have a specific niche that they fill. And so while I can't really necessarily explain why they like it, it is they have evolved to and have adapted to survive in that environment. That's basically it.
Not everyone is pleased with the listing or the possible critical habitat designation. Representative Scott Tipton, along with 17 other members of Congress, sent a letter to the head of Fish and Wildlife asking him to extend the public comment period on the critical habitat. Right now it's set to end next Tuesday, but they're asking for another 2 months. They say a critical habitat listing is questionable and could cost millions of dollars a year. The director of Fish and Wildlife, Dan Ash, is expected to make a decision soon. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Yellow-billed cuckoos are found in Mesa County. Rain is forecasted for across the KVNF listening area today, and snow is predicted above 10,000 feet. There's also a chance of flash flooding in portions of southwest Colorado between 7 and 10,000 feet, so be careful out there. Up next, Tay and the Sweet Sound. For KVNF News, I'm Laura Palmisano.